You are taking your seat this morning. Would you do me a favor and open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There's a Bible in front of you, behind you, next to you. I want to read these verses here in a few moments together as a congregational reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In a moment. I want to conclude these thoughts, this presentation, next weekend. And next week, I want to help us understand what the Bible says about the pictures of God. And I'll give you the verse that you can research and study with along with me in a few moments. But it's important to know two things, that the outside people, and what I mean by that is those that don't know Jesus like you do. A culture that is falling apart, going crazy, and somehow the body of Christ will continue to get stronger and better and sharper and wiser and seeing the hand of God over their lives. That should be our direction. But you also have to understand that when you present Jesus to other people, they don't see him like you do. Very important. So it's our job to present the Jesus of the Bible correctly. And so I want to give you four pictures of God. Three are very incorrect. There's only one that is right. That's what I want to conclude next Sunday in this word. Then what I like to do, if the will of God, is to finish what we started with the book of Daniel. We've been in the book of Daniel this long. And what I want to focus on is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Book of Daniel is quoted all over the New Testament like never before. Oh my God. Revelation quotes Daniel. Jesus quotes Daniel. The Gospels quote Daniel. So Daniel had a lot to say about what would happen in the 500 years before Jesus would come. I believe we're at the end of those 500 years, just around the corner. But again, I want to show you, you read the word, you study the word, because I tell people all the time, don't believe me what I say behind this pulpit. You go read it, and you go study it, and when you come to church, and you hear me say, you say amen, because that's what the word says. And so I want to kind of be able to just help us get a kickstart for next Sunday, and then I would begin the journey, just a couple of messages, and we'll go from there. So if you've been new to New Beginnings the last month, I started this series way back with the help of God and the Spirit, how to stand firm and how to love well, how to make sure we don't compromise this word. We stand on it. We believe it. It's sovereign. It's holy in the sight of God. But at the same time, how do we present that to a culture that's falling apart and how to love them? And so this topic, this message, is what I titled last week, and I want you to see that up there. The culture's greatest need right now, right this moment, is not a new president, not a Supreme Court, not a new government. What they need is the body of Jesus Christ to rise up and present truth and grace to the world. Truth sets people free, amen? And grace opens the door to the provision. So the question that we need to answer, and hopefully you want an answer, because the goal is to influence, like Daniel did. He influenced, he was in slavery, he was in bondage, and still in that middle of his chaotic world, he stood firm. And so if we're going to make a difference in our souls with the help of Jesus and in others, we have to prepare ourselves to tell people what Jesus has done inside of our hearts. That's evangelism. That's all that is. Okay? You're not going to tell them that they're sinners. You're not going to tell them that lifestyle, you're going to go to hell. You're going to do all that stuff. That is not of God. And I want to tell you up front, that is not of God. What is of God is He loves them right where they're at. So we've given permission for this community to show up at our 3 services a week. And we've given them permission to show up at the 24 different ministries that run throughout the months of the year, that they're welcome exactly where they are. And we're just going to tell them what Jesus has done for them. And hopefully they have that experience in their lives. And the ball keeps rolling, all in Jesus' name. So the question that we have to answer is, how do I connect with others? Okay? And so we need to connect before we correct. We had an amazing men's service last week. And I've ran into men in the community that said that service transformed and changed my life. And they're telling me in the community with their eyes just swelling up with tears. And I'm saying, yes. And what my brother did is that he shared this, that you and I cannot antagonize people and influence them at the same time. It doesn't work. If the people around us are putting their walls up and they're going like this, you're too spooky, your fruit don't match, then we need to take a look at how we can better ourselves in that area. So our goal is to look for one. Everybody say one. This is why the evangelism that's been happening at New Beginnings on June and July, continue in July. And that's what we did last night at the Riverwalk. That's what we did that on Saturday at noon, is we just, you know, God, if one gets saved, one, amen. Can y'all smile at me? One. If one gets saved in 2018, all that hard work was worth it. Because in the eyes of God, that soul matters to Him. And so our goal is to connect before we correct. Reaching the people, how do we connect with people? With a purpose. What is our purpose? Our purpose is evangelism. And evangelism is not saying, you know, these things, doing these things. It's just saying, can I tell you what Jesus has done for me? He set me free. Somebody say amen to that. So how do we serve? And this is how I want to start my message. How do we serve grace with salt? I am so glad you asked. How do I do this? How do I connect with people? How does this work? I want to influence. I want to help make a difference in our community. So we can complain all we want. We can complain all we want about our neighborhood and about our community, about the system, about the political arena, and nothing can ever be accomplished. And what God is going to do, He's going to do it through people that say, God, would you count me in? I want to make a difference in my community, where I work, where I live, where I hang out. I want them to know that Jesus really is the answer. Are you at 1 Corinthians chapter 2? You're there? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us in the month of June. In a few days, we're moving into the month of July. Right in the middle of what you started last year. Last year, you started stirring us up. You started getting us ready to get ready to see your hand, your spirit move right in the middle of the heat, right in the middle of the trial. But thank you, God, that you are strong enough and powerful enough to help us walk through whatever we need to walk through. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So quickly, we are making a commitment to have an influence in our community. When you make that commitment, I just want you to know the spiritual warfare does rise a little bit. I just want to warn you. But what keeps that spiritual warfare at bay, in other words, I don't want to participate. I like one of the t-shirts that one of the worship team had on, and I even complimented it. He had a t-shirt that says, "Not today, Satan." I mean, in public, Riverwalk, hundreds of people walking around. He had to say, not today, Satan. So that is what we need to say, not today, enemy, because I'm going to do two things. I want to make sure the spirit of thanksgiving is flowing through my mind, my mouth, and my emotions. We got a lot to be thankful, amen? A lot to be thankful. There's a lot of things that can be really bad out there, but we're doing really well. The second thing that we have to do is make sure that every day, daily, we are renewing our minds with the Word of God. And when you're renewing your mind daily, because one of the most difficult things to do is to die to your self-gratification, thinking that you're in control, thinking that you have all the answers in the natural. You don't have them. This is why we surrender, we submit to the things of God so that we can understand that He is wanting to use us for His glory and His honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen to that. Here's the first thing we have to do. The first step is simply connect with people. That's it. Because every person that I have ever met longs to be loved unconditionally. Wow! Jesus connected with people before He corrected them. It's not what we say. It's how we say it. It's not how you make a person, what you say to them or what kind of counsel you gave them. It's how you made them feel. People don't care what you know first. They want to know that you care. Wow. I met somebody that is willing to have pizza with me at a park, and they're not caring my lifestyle, even though they know about my lifestyle, but I want to know you first. This is why we never give advice unless they ask us for advice. I learned that helping other people because of the culture and the world is that when they ask, it opens the door. When they ask, they open the door. When they see your life, it opens the door. And then when they open the door, amen, it's like, wow, God is so good that we can share what He's done for us inside. So that's important. Number one is that we connect with people before we begin to tell them what's wrong. That's why we made a commitment that every three services, Sunday twice, Wednesday, just like this. And by the way, if you missed Wednesday, I'm not sure if we recorded it, but one of our young ministers who found New Beginnings about 8-9 years ago went through our system or our fellowship and our connection, now as a pastor in Seattle, showed up here and came and gave you some amazing kudos. And he said, wow, the best thing that happened to me in Pueblo was New Beginnings. Changed and transformed my life and gave you guys a bunch of big thank you for being open and being willing to accept him right where he was. And we'll do that, but here's a little problem. The Spirit of God won't let you stay there very long. He'll want to make sure you keep growing and making things work for the glory of God. Here we go. Second thing. Just get this morning. We got this from the book of Daniel. We got this from the life of Daniel. We've been studying Daniel 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. I will move it into those chapters as I finish this message next week to make sure we're understanding that God is preparing us and getting ready for His coming. And again, there's only one person that knows when Jesus is coming, and His name is the Father. Jehovah God is the only one. So don't you buy all those books and waste your money, and they make thinkers say, well, it's got to be here. It's got to be here. Well, I'm not here. It's got to be here. Smack them. No, don't do that. Here's just like walk the talk. So after you connect with people, they know you care about them. You have their best interest in mind. You want them getting better. You want them getting a job. You want them having finances. You want them to have a good home. You want them to know how to raise a family. You want to know how to be a woman of God and a man of God and how to raise your children and how to be a great influence in this community. Before you do that, you connect with people and you live according to what Jesus taught. You will remember that a person who shows interest and concern for them is because you know the best thing that can ever happen to them is Jesus. Let me read this to you real quick. We have earned someone's respect. When we have earned someone's respect, before we can build a relationship, we have to have a relationship before we can influence. I want to say that one more time. We have to earn someone's respect. I used my brother, Eric, at the 9 o'clock service, and I'm hoping he gives me permission to do it at the 10:30 service. And how me and Eric connected is I was his son's coach. I coached basketball and track for 30 years. And he watched me in action get technicals and get kicked out of games. Yeah. They don't call me Bobby Knight Aragon for nothing. For years on my office door, Bobby Knight's office. For those who know about basketball, know about Bobby Knight. But I connected with him and his family. He said, I heard you're a pastor. And I'm like, yeah, Lord, yes. But you should see how much I repent the next day. Get my heart ready. He says, oh, can I try your church? Yeah, come on down. How many years ago was that? 14 years ago, and he is still here, and he is a great influence for not only our community, but New Beginnings. There's hundreds of stories like that at New Beginnings. New Beginnings, again, it may not be for everybody, but we do know that if you are serious about getting better, New Beginnings can begin that journey to help you with that journey. So once you establish, get this morning, once you have established a baseline of respect and demonstrated a willingness to help and relate a person to person, then you can look for an opportunity to share your story. So evangelism, please write this down. I'm getting ready to close, and I'm getting ready to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So you thought I forgot about 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Write this down. Evangelism is not telling others what they should do. It's telling them what has happened in you. Evangelism is not telling others what they should do. That's why we give advice only when they ask for. Hey, Mr. Aragon, I'd like to have a Bible. Open door, give them one. But I can't just go give them one where I do majority of my counseling at and pastoral work and coaching. But if they ask, I mean, we'd be willing to give that to them. It's telling them what has happened inside of you. So witnessing has some kind of direct experience related to what they're describing. They know this because they saw that in themselves, and that all they want to do is let others know what God has done in their lives. It's okay to have joy. It's okay to have peace. It's okay to have some understanding and some direction in your life because, man, I'll tell you what, it's powerful. I'll leave you with the last one before I close. Plain and simple, my friends. Third step, plain and simple. Finally, we are to be salt and light. We need to invite others to a place where they can experience God themselves. So let me tell you what we should do and what we should not do, but you do whatever you think you need to do. But let me help you with this. Your job is to invite them to every support, recovery, education, church service, and then once you do that, you say, Holy Spirit, they're yours now. The problem is we try to play Holy Spirit. Have you ever tried to play Holy Spirit? you don't do a very good job with it. I'm just telling you right now. It's hard to try to be Holy Spirit. You say, go and experience the recovery group. Go experience the men's group. Go experience the women's group. Go experience the two-year Bible school. Go experience the gap. Go experience the couples. That's some crazy couples that come together because they're honest and they're real. I don't like to be around fake people, just real people. Man, this is real. That's why I take my wife. No, don't you dare. I said that. I know. Back in the doghouse again. Their experience. It's amazing and powerful. So I would like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 to you. I met a guy 20 years ago. Very rude with me. Very sarcastic. Very confrontational and you know, growing up the way I grew up in the projects, that's a really tough thing to try to swallow. But since I was in a place where I couldn't do nothing but just listen to his sarcastic and his confrontation, a few times I've asked him, you know what, it's time for you to leave my session and my group and come back when you're ready. So back then, they used to let us go all day on recreation with the patients. And they would take me with them. The other people would. That's where I learned to golf. What happened to me was that an instructor showed me how to hold the golf club. And I swung that thing. And it went like no other. And for the last 20 years, I've been trying to get that same shot. I went from one addiction to another addiction. So this one time, we went fishing. And I kind of sat by him there a little bit, and he says, you know what, Mr. Aragon? Very sarcastic, remember? I don't believe in God. I'm an agnostic. An agnostic is someone who says there might be an existence of God, but I have a lot of doubt more than belief. Agnostic, atheist says there's no existence of God. There's a big difference between an agnostic and an atheist. He was an agnostic. So he kind of went like this to me. I still remember like it was yesterday because it was 20 years ago, but I saw the guy two weeks ago. And he says, you know what, Mr. Aragon? If I catch a fish in the next 2 minutes, I'll believe. So I kind of like, you better be careful what you ask for. There's God in heaven. He caught a fish. It's not the end of the story. He caught the biggest fish that has ever come out of that area. We took a picture of it, and it hung right there for 10 years because I would see it. And he looked at me 2 weeks ago and he says, I still believe. Influence has no condition who's in the church. Influence is how much influence do we have in the community. They say you and I pastor two churches. The church, the fellowship in the church, and the church that is outside of the community. Your influence is powerful, but watch how it works. 1 Corinthians, as the worship team comes, we're going to take communion together, and I want you to get God in a personal relationship. And it says, brother, that's you and I, just in case. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Body of Christ, believers, followers of Jesus Christ, if Jesus has done something amazing in your life, brother, when I came to you, did not come with excellent speech of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You don't share the church. You don't share the denomination. You don't share the teaching. You just share Jesus. Jesus did that. So where do you guys know more about Jesus? And then that's when you can come and say, well, we got a place. You might fit in. You may not fit in. You may like it. You may not like it. You may be there for a season or a reason, or you may be there for a long time. But they will always love you and welcome you wherever you are. So we let them know about Jesus. I was with you, and when I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. Wow. How do I move from the natural to the supernatural? How do I move from the flesh to the Spirit? How do I let the Holy Spirit tell my spirit so that my spirit can tell my flesh, my emotions, my will? Excuse my terminology. I know I'm in church. Shut up. You don't know what's best for me. You put me in this mess. I'm in the mess I'm in because I trusted you, your insight, your wisdom, your knowledge. Not today, Junior. Holy Spirit, train my spirit that's in me because of Jesus how to tell my emotions, my will, my mind, you're not in control. This is why if we don't renew our minds daily, then we revert to what we know how to do best. Try to be in control. My speech, my preaching were not of persuasive words of human wisdom, but the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. This is what Paul did. This is why we do the Daniel fast. That's why Daniel said, man, the God that I serve, I can't make what is holy unholy and curse myself. I will trust my Lord by the written word, the power of the word, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so, as you look at my last little notes, those who are helping me with communion would get ready. I want you to read Mark 8, 27 to 29. It'll help you understand the four pictures of God. Three are not correct, one is correct. Give yourself a head start because we have to present the right Jesus of the Bible. We cannot present the Jesus of religious world. We got to present the Jesus of the Bible. It's our responsibility because the view of the world of God is very, very distorted. So you have to make sure you present the right Jesus. I'll share this with you next Sunday. Please stand with me. Those who are helping me